Our Lord, in the 10th chapter of Matthew, is sending out the 12 apostles. And he's reminding them that they won't be popular. I guess the hardest thing I ever faced as a young preacher was when I found out that everybody didn't like preachers. I always thought everybody loved preachers. And I was really amazed. I couldn't believe it. I wasn't ready for it when I found out that people didn't like me. Still have a hard time. I mean, I think I'm so wonderful. I don't know why anybody else wouldn't like me. But no, that isn't true. But I've never gotten to the place where I enjoy having enemies. I've gotten to the place where I'm willing to have them. I can't say that I enjoy it. But our Lord's reminding the apostles that they're going to have enemies. He tells them some startling statements. He says, in some cases, parents are going to kill their children for the gospel. If you go out and spread this message, he said, in many cases, moms and dads will be your bitterest enemies. And he said, in some cases, you will find your own children will be your bitterest enemies. And he said, brothers and sisters, in some cases, will fight you and be your bitterest enemies. I could take, if I had time, I could take 30 minutes tonight in the service and tell of people whose immediate families practically hate them. And those people are sitting in this room tonight. I could take 30 minutes, and I believe I would never have to repeat the same illustration twice. There are mothers and dads in this room tonight whose children will not even come to see them because they're Christians and they live for God. Their children, young people, and adults in this room tonight whose mothers and fathers will not even speak to them because of their stand for Christ. I think it not strange. Our Lord told that it'd be that way. People of your own household, people who are supposed to be your best friends, will rise up against you. Now, in case he said you're wondering if that's too bad or not, you feel sorry for yourself, he said your master had that. It turned on him, his own people, his own nation, his own synagogue, his own creation. They turned on him, crucified him. And he said, he asked the question, is the servant greater than his master? Do you mean to tell me you want people that crucified Jesus to love you? Do you mean you want folks to pat you on the back and buddy-buddy with you who nailed him to the cross? You mean you want folks who curse his name to think you're a great guy? Something might be wrong with you. Might be wrong. He said that an interesting thing. There are four different creatures mentioned in my text, is verse 16. There are four different creatures. He said, first, behold, I send you out as sheep among wolves. And they're the first two creatures. Sheep among wolves. Then he said, be as wise as serpents and as harmless as doves. In that one sentence, passage, a verse, you have four creatures mentioned. Sheep, wolves, serpents, and doves. Now, the first picture is, I send you out as sheep among wolves. What a picture. What a picture. Good night. Here's, the Lord says, okay, I'm going to send you out, little lamb over here. By the way, when he sent out the 70, he called them lambs. That's very interesting to me, too. He sent out the 70, and he said, I'm going to send you out as lambs among wolves. He sent out the 12. He said, I'm going to send you out as sheep among wolves. Sounds like the Lord wants us to go out whether we're lambs or sheep, doesn't it? Sounds like he wants the new Christian to go out as well as the older Christian. Sounds like he wants the teenager and the child to go out as well as he wants the adult to go out. He sends the lamb among wolves, and the sheep among wolves. But my soul, that's sort of a sad thing. I mean, the truth is, a lamb or a sheep is no match for a wolf. The truth is, one wolf could destroy 100 sheep. And the Lord said, He didn't say, I'll send you out as 100 sheep to one wolf. That's bad enough. No human possibility of survival. By the way, there's no human possibility of your survival either without Him. See? You got the good shepherd looking out for you. You can go out as a sheep among wolves. See? So, he said, I send you out as sheep, or 12 sheep, among a nation of wolves. That's interesting. And yet, He said, I send you. I send you. Seems awful cruel to me. Shepherd's supposed to protect his sheep, and here this shepherd's sending his sheep out to the wolves. Shepherd's supposed to keep his sheep away from the wolves, and this shepherd says, go to the wolves. A shepherd's supposed to keep the wolves away from his sheep, and he says, okay, sheep, I want you to go where the wolves are. Strange thing. And here's something else interesting, too. He sends the sheep to attack the wolves. He didn't say, I'm going to let wolves come among you, so I want you to go among the wolves. He sends the sheep out to attack the wolves. Now listen, if 1,000 sheep went out and attacked one wolf, it'd be suicide. But if one sheep goes to a whole 1,000 wolves, well, that's unbelievable. And the Lord said, I want to send you. Now, what He's saying is this. Don't be surprised when I send you out if people don't treat you like wolves treat sheep. Why, one wolf can get in a flock of sheep and tan, go wild, just having a field day. And looks like Brother Sully at an ice cream party. Just tan. And I don't want to say, okay, you're not going to be popular. I don't enjoy the fact that I'm not popular, that I'm not popular, but I'm glad I'm not, because that's what the Lord told me I'd be. See, if you're popular with the world, then you're not doing what He said to do.
That's right.
And now where you work, if you're the good guy and buddy and popular with all the fellas, and they say, ah, there's a Christian, but he hadn't gone to seed about it. Now, no, and you don't bear fruit till you go to seed. And something wrong with you. You go to a public school and you're real popular. Something wrong with you. I mean, the simple truth is, out in the world, Jesus said, you'll be as sheep among wolves. Don't be surprised if the world treats you as a wolf would treat a sheep. Cain is still killing Abel after 6,000 years. Noah has his ungodly world. Isaac has his Ishmael. Jacob has his Esau. David is hunted by Saul, and Moses has his Pharaoh, and you're going to have folks hounding you, too, like they did.
That's right.
No need to worry about being popular. And by the way, with the passing of the time, if you're what you ought to be, you become more unpopular and more unpopular all the time.
Right.
But you say, Brother Hyam, I don't have many enemies. Now, you know why? Because you haven't been going out among the wolves. Lord didn't say. He didn't say, I'm going to send you as a sheep. I'm going to let your sheep study the wolves. He said, I send you among the wolves. Preacher said long ago to me, he said, you know, for the house, why do you have so many enemies? I don't have any. How many buses do you run? None. I was baptized last year. 6. How many folks have going out soul winning? Well, we don't go soul winning. We let the Word do its work. He said, the Bible says that if the Lord sent you to go where the wolves are, well, he says, I don't feel that to go out. That's because you're a wolf. You wouldn't have, the Lord, if you don't go where the wolves are, then you won't have any enemies.
Right.
It's the going. You know what caused the First Baptist Church to be unpopular? Buses. Long invitations. Knocking on doors. Bothering people about the gospel. Passing out tracts on the street. Holding street services. Going up and down Chicago Street trying to get folks saved. Collaring people. I witnessed a man on the street right down here one day, and he said, you're the seventh person today has done that. He said to me, he said, would you tell Hal something for me? I won't tell you what he told me to tell him. And I won't tell you how much water it took to wake him up after I introduced myself to him either. See? You say, why are we so unpopular? Because we're going where the wolves are. See? And now you just leave the wolves alone, and you listen, these deeper life churches, so-called, and of course that's a fake. That's a deception. Nobody that says it's not a soul winner's deeper life. And but these deep, so-called deeper life churches, they don't have any enemies. Why? Well, they're not where the wolves are. You move in a wolf property. You witness to Mrs. Wolf, or Mr. Wolf, his home. I mean, you witnessed all the little baby wolves. And tried to bring a bunch of baby wolves on buses out here. See? Look, folks, let's face it. The devil's not going to fight a church that's doing nothing. And so, it's when you go looking for lost sheep that the wolves bother you. He said, I send you forth. Bible students never see the wolves. Deeper life students never see the wolves. Now, why are people like wolves to us? Why? Tell you why. Because you know what a wolf's looking for? He's looking for a meal. Brother Helton, if I came to your house every time you ate, I stole your food, I wouldn't be your favorite person. I mean, if I came over and you bought groceries, one fellow said, I don't have time to ask the blessing before all the meals. I just pray for the groceries while we're in the car, driving home to the grocery store. but suppose it, every time you, this is time saver, you know. But I said, Brother Colston, now you ought to say grace at the meals too. anyway, if I came to your house and I tried to get all your food and didn't let you eat, now the truth is, the wolf is looking for the lamb, for the sheep too. So when we go out looking for lost sheep, the wolf is also looking for the lost sheep, then the wolf is going to try to tear us up, and we're going to be unpopular. You know, that's why the ERA doesn't like me. We're both looking for the same sheep. That's why the sex education public school. And did you read that dirty, filthy article in the Tribune today? Said they're teaching now in the public school what they wanted to know all along. Bunch of heathen pagan that came from Europe to try to destroy the decency of our country. You said, well, I understand they don't like you. How do they like me? You say, you ought to love them. I do love them. Love them enough to want to get them born again, right with God, and make a decent nation for them to grow up, rear their children in. But you know why they don't like me? Huh? We're after the same sheep. Here's a kid goes to public school, and I say he can't teach sex, and we say he shouldn't take the sex education course. And you shouldn't. I said you shouldn't. You ought not to lie. Anybody you don't know to teach your kids sex education. Let me show you something. How many of you have ever shaken hands with your... Have you ever shaken hands with your child's... Last year, all last year, you shook hands one time with your... I had a personal conversation with your child's school teacher. With all the school teachers of all your children last year. Raise your hand. You did. All right? How many of you did not shake hands or have a personal conversation with your child's school teacher last year? And you shouldn't have necessarily. Well, I did not. Okay? That's about half and half. Now, I'm not saying you should have. In fact, that you probably shouldn't have. But what I'm trying to say is this, then. You don't know who they are, then, do you? And there are many of you wouldn't even know the name of a single teacher who taught your child last year. Now, that's not a sin. But the sin is for someone that strange to you to be teaching your child something that's one of the most vital things in life. See? So, you say, well, why is it the sex education crowd doesn't like you? Same reason I don't like them. I love them, but don't like them. Love them enough to try to get them born again, but I detest their garbage they're putting out. See? Now why? We're after the same sheep. I'm trying to teach you on Sunday not to listen to the heathen on Monday that teach sex education stuff. Let me say this too. I don't even think Hammond Baptist High School ought to teach sex education to your boys and girls. If I hear it's being taught, it'll be stopped just like that. It's not the business of anybody outside the home to teach the children in sex education. Quite frankly, you all know my opinion. America's a lot better off before we had anybody outside the home teaching anything to our kids. Formal education is the law of the land now, except for decades and decades and decades. Without it, without the public school system, we built the greatest nation on the face of God, sir. We're after the same sheep. You know there is right now a move afoot to have a law passed, and the law is being considered right now. Make it against the law for any human being to call another one a sinner. It may well be in 12 months it's against the law for you to stand up here and say you're a sinner. Think about that. That means if you go soul winning and say the first thing you need to know is that all of us are sinners, and that means that you are a sinner in the sight of God. There's none righteous, no, not one. Be against the law. Now that could well be a law in the next 12 months. And that's why some of us in America are getting together and we're organizing and doing what we can in the next 12 months to let people know how we stand. And let me just say this. Washington, D.C. probably has never gotten as many letters as she's going to get in the next year. More than a letter. We're going to do more than be pen pals with our senators. But I'm saying that why is it that kind of philosophy hates me? I don't know why. Because I'm trying to steal every sheep they're trying to get. I'm trying to get boys and girls and teach them to be decent while they're teaching permissive society. I'm trying to get boys and girls and say, stay pure while they're trying to say it doesn't matter. Do what you want to do. If it feels good, do it. It's garbage.
Amen.
So, they don't like me. Why? We're after the same sheep. That's why the Hollywood crowd doesn't like me. That's why the unisex crowd doesn't like me. We're after the same sheep. I'm saying these little gals wear skirts. They're saying wear pants. By the way, now then they have what they call Memphis pants where they're exactly alike. Exactly alike. Some of you ladies going around here wearing your pants and so forth and say, well, it's not unisex. Now what are you going to say? It's gotten the place now where you go to one store, to one counter, and buy the same type trouser for the husband and for the wife. You said, Brother Hiles, why do you preach against ladies wearing slacks? Well, of course, I've had a conviction 25 years about that. That's why. And if I change what I've been preaching 25 years because you're wearing them, I'd be a pussyfooter, and I never have been accused of being a pussyfooter. I haven't changed. You have. You say, I don't like that. That's what I'm preaching about. They said you wolves wouldn't. See? I sent you out as sheep among wolves. Not easy. A little lamb going out among the wolves and sees the white teeth as they glitter and the sheep. All of a sudden, little sheep says, I wish I was back in the fold. So I'm going to go join another church. This church sends me out among these wolves all the time. Say, by the way, that's why you quit your bus route. You didn't want to be hated with the wolves. That's why you don't go soul-winning anymore. You like a little lamb that went out and said, good night, those wolves mean business. I got to go back to the fold. Now, the Lord said, I send you. He didn't say, I send some of you. He said, I send you. He didn't say, I ask you. I send you. God has sent every single one of his blood-bought people to go out where the wolves are and try to get people saved. Now, they don't like you, so you get scared of the wolves, and you run back to the fold. And then you can have more fun. You know what? people sometimes sit in the house. Why, when you came to this church, did all of a sudden it get unpopular? We went wolf hunting. We've been out where the wolves are. I mean, as long as the church baptizes 50, 60, 75, 100 a year, the wolves won't mind that. You can baptize it. Well, listen, we have more folks than that just stumble in the water up here. But I'm saying the wolves won't bother you. But you get out and knock on doors and pass out tracts and try to get people saved and run buses and so forth. And you say, that's not the kind of church I like. You have no right to go to the kind of church you like. You better go to the kind of church built on this word and pattern that the book of Acts. That's what you better do.
That's right.
So we go out where the wolves are now. I recall when I first came here on Easter Sunday. First year I was here, Easter Sunday. Well, we had people come from all over. I mean, boy, listen, this was the place. Ray, you remember those days? On Easter Sunday. I mean, we had them come from far and near. Easter Sunday, we'd run three times as many as the other Sunday. But we're no longer the where the morning glories come. I mean, you know, Easter Sunday, after four or five hellfire and damnation Easters. Now, let me tell you something, folks. You listen to me. A lot of you don't like what I'm saying right now. And a lot of you believe what I'm saying, and you got your life invested in a church that doesn't, and you're going to answer to God for it. A lot of you like to come out here once in a while and get a little and have a little nice visit, and you know that the Bible, Christianity, is what's going on around here. You know it. And yet you got your influence and your tithe, and in some church it's nothing more than sitting around seeing how much wool each lamb's got on it. Never goes out where the wolves are. Now, the honest, simple truth is, folks, we're not sent here to this world to be loved. We're sent here to get a message out with a mission. And whether they like us or don't like us has nothing to do with it. Now, personally, I'd rather they like us. And I enjoy it better when I get letters to Dear Brother Howes, you're America's greatest preacher. Signed, Mother. I enjoy that better than Dear Brother Hiles, you are the meanest guy in America today. Now, I enjoy the first one most. I get the last kind the most, but I enjoy the first one the most. But my actions should not be determined by what I like the best. My actions should be determined by what the New Testament church did and what the Lord sent me to do. See? Now, He sent me out as a sheep among wolves. Now, if that makes me loved, I'll be loved. If that makes me hated, I'll be hated. But how I'm treated has nothing to do with whether I'm supposed to go or not. So, by the way, to be Christ-like, you have to go. I can prove it. He was led as a lamb to the slaughter, as a sheep before his shearers. Now, he was a sheep among wolves. You have no right to be anything else. He was treated like wolves treat a lamb. You have no right to treat it any other way. The very idea of you want to be popular with a world that hated the Son of God. And by the way, this old world hates the Son of God more in July 1975 than she did in 33 A.D. The day that Jesus was nailed to Calvary, He wasn't as unpopular as He is today. You say, what would happen if Jesus came to Hammond? He'd be crucified, put in an electric chair, or stoned to death, or shot. He'd be killed. So, now then the question comes, and here's the basic part of the sermon. We go out as sheep among wolves. That's what we're here for. Now, may I say this? We don't have to go out to aggravate the wolves. A lot of folks go out to the job and with a pious kind of a look on their faces saying, I thank the Lord that I am a Christian. And they pass around the cigarette and you say, the dear Father does not prefer that I partake of such evil deeds. Now, that's not what it's talking about here. I mean, I'd like to see you sheared in hand. No. What you're supposed to do is go out and be nice and courteous and tell folks about Jesus and try to get folks saved and not be super pious and not try to put on some kind of a show that's not necessary. And you'll find enough folks treat you like a wolf treats a lamb without your trying to go out and irritate the lambs. The Lord didn't say, I sent you forth to irritate the wolves. He said, I sent you forth as sheep among wolves. Now, our job is to get the lost sheep. Now, if in getting the lost sheep, the wolves don't like it, that's supposed to irritate the wolves. The truth is, we're not supposed to go out and be unkind to the wolves, or be mean to the wolves, or slander the wolves, or try to fight the wolves. We're supposed to go out and try to get the lost sheep that are being destroyed by the wolves, and save people who are trying to be ruined by the wolves. Now then, the wolves get mad because of that. Now then, how are we to react? When they go out as sheep among wolves, how does God want us to react? He tells us and uses two more creatures. We're to be wise as serpents and harmless as doves. Wise as serpents. You know, it's an amazing thing how the Lord can take a serpent and teach us a lesson. Our Lord can take strange combinations, a serpent and a dove. He can take the best of each. He can take the good out of the evil, the pearl out of the oyster shell, and the diamond out of the dunghill, and forget the bad they took it from. And our Lord takes something so slimy as a snake and says, okay, as you go, and as you're hated, as a sheep is hated by wolves, here's how I want you to behave. First is that I want you to be as wise as serpents. Now, how about this serpent business? Now, could he sit as bold as lions? Maybe so, but not first. First, wise as serpents and harmless as doves. Could he have said as swift as eagles? He could have said that, but first he says wise as serpents and harmless as doves. Now, how am I, as a lamb, to treat the wolves that are after me all the time? And you don't know. You just do not know. You think that the wolves are after you. You ought to just walk with me a while. And so you do not. How am I to treat people at Hammond? Spit at me. How am I to treat folks at Hammond? Lie about me and curse me sometimes to my face. I'm supposed to treat them as wise as a serpent and as harmless as a dove. Now, our Lord said this, why do you go out as a sheep among the wolves? Act like a serpent. Now, wait a minute. He didn't say bite everybody. I wish he had. I wish he'd have said it as venomous as serpents. That's one reason I think that the Lord made me smaller than some preachers. I've often said that if I was as big as Joe Boyd, I'd probably have killed 10 people by now. But the Lord didn't say that. He said his why. He said if you're picking some quality of a serpent, choose its wisdom. Now, what is the wisdom of a serpent? A serpent probably is the most hated creature on the face of the earth other than a fundamental preacher. Now, how many of you folks, be honest now, how many of you folks like snakes? Well, you like snakes. Huh? Raise your hand. Whereby? Well, they say likes attract each other. And you like snakes. I'd like you to have your head examined. How many of you would say that the most loathsome creature on the face of the earth is a snake? Huh? Boy, to me. I don't. Fellow said, well, I'll take this snake. And I said, what kind is it? He said, don't worry about it. You shouldn't be afraid of those that are not poisonous. I haven't got time to check out. I'm going to check. I check out, yeah. But I haven't got time to check it. Say, so, you know, if they got little diamond or little if they got the yellow and real colorful, that's a coral snake. Well, I'm going to run and let you check the color and write me about it. You say, why write you? That's how far I'm going to run. You see, I don't care about snakes. I don't like grass snakes. Somebody one day they had a snake over here. Brother Vinya had a snake. He said he almost put it under my door, off door. Now, I'll be honest with you. That's not funny. Oh. No, sir. No, sir. I did what? You supposed to kill him? No, sir. No, sir. I'd let him pass through the whole church. I mean, he can have it office. I mean, so how'd you get out? See then? bathroom window, I'd get out. Now, to me, that's no joke. Of course, now, he wouldn't do it, of course, but he... But honestly, to me, there's not, I don't even like worms. I like anything that crawls. I like play with a baby that can walk. Why? I don't know why. I don't like snakes. Now the Lord said, be wise as serpents. What did he mean? He meant not only are you going to be treated like wolves treat lambs, but you're going to be treated like people treat snakes. Brother Vineyard, there are thousands of people in this world that hate you more than they hate rattlesnakes. And there are tens of thousands of people in this country that hate me worse than they hate a rattlesnake. And there are a lot of folks in this town that would rather outlaw fundamentalists than outlaw rattlesnakes. Our Lord said, you're going to be hated? Say, oh, you white gloved Christians. You like to go to a church where on Sunday morning they sing the sevenfold Amen and the Gloria Patri and the Lord is in his holy temple. And you say, we have no enemies. Everybody likes us. Everybody likes you. Where are they on Sunday night? No, they just tolerate you. They don't like you. They just don't like you. They don't hate you. The truth is, you're just a bland, amoebic-like substance. Now, the Lord said, if you go... Now, if you don't go soul winning, don't you worry about it. Everybody, you, folks will like you. But if you go... Let me ask you a question. Some of you folks that are soul winners, did you notice that when you ladies started the soul winning, did you notice that sometimes your husband, he changed a little bit toward his attitude towards you? They don't like you. They just don't like you. They don't hate you. The truth is, you're just a bland, amoebic-like substance. Now, the Lord said, if you go... Now, if you don't go soul winning, don't you worry about it. Everybody, you, folks will like you. But if you go... Let me ask you a question. Some of you folks that are soul winners, did you notice that when you ladies started the soul winning, did you notice that sometimes your husband, he changed a little bit toward his attitude towards you? Huh? And some of you students, when you decided God had called you to go into the full-time ministry, did your mother say to you, but I had in mind that you would be a dentist? And did your father say, a preacher? There's no money in that. Well, there is too. $50 a week in some churches where you start off. There's no money in that. A preacher. Now, I'm talking about good people. There are good people in this room tonight, some of the best folks we have in this church, that you don't want your boy to be like to be hated like a snake. Well, I can recall when my dear mother said to me when I first started preaching, son, I want you to preach against sin, and I want you to be a soul winner, and then I want you to build a great soul winning church, and I want you to fight the devil. But, Lord, son, can't you do it where folks won't hate you? I want folks to like you. I said, Mom, I do too. We won't work out that way. Now, but they said, look, be as wise as serpents. As wise as serpents. Now, listen, what does a serpent do? Serpent knows he's hated. So a serpent doesn't hang around people a great deal. Our Lord is saying, now listen, a serpent, even a deadly serpent, does not want to fight with you. He doesn't. And he will not cause you trouble until he thinks there is a direct confrontation. Now, our Lord is saying this. Our Lord is saying, I am sending you forth. But I don't want you, I want you to be as wise as serpents. What does it mean? He means don't hang around the world a great deal. There is an unscriptural philosophy. And I have no desire to combat anything, everybody, but there's an unscriptural philosophy that says that Christians ought to go out and hobnob with the world so we can change the world. God never told us to change the world. God told us to get individuals in the world converted. And it told us why we're to do it, not be of the world, be separate from the world. We're to go to them and carry the message, but we're not to go to them and organize with them and socialize with them. We're to come out from among them, be ye separate. And our Lord says, be as wise as a serpent. Which means, the serpent gets out of the way. That means that God doesn't want you going to the world's parties. God doesn't want you singing the world songs. Somebody said, well, I went to a rock festival in Chicago. Take care of yourself. The Lord didn't go with you. You say, what's wrong going to a rock festival? Nothing. You have about 1,000 gospel tracts and a Bible under your arm, and you go to witness to everybody there. But you go to enjoy that garbage, and you're not a scriptural Christian. You might be born again, but you are not what you ought to be. You're trying to cooperate and fellowship and unite with wolves. And God never wants a bunch of sheep running around in a flock with wolves.
Amen.
You say, well, how? If we separate ourselves, how can we win them? All phooey. You don't have to get drunk to win a drunkard. God didn't intend you to go down and join a tavern and go to the tavern every Saturday night and drink with them so you can win them. No, sir. The way you win them is exactly how God said to win them. Get your Bible and go out and tell them how to be saved. That's why we're supposed to come in contact with unsaved people.
Amen.
Gets out of the way. God doesn't want you to dress like the wolves. God doesn't want you to talk like the wolves. God doesn't want you to go to the wolves' Christmas parties. God doesn't want his sheep running with the wolves, hanging around the wolves, except to get the message to them. Something else about the serpent. Serpent never attacks. Never attacks. Now, if you got snake bit, it's because the serpent thought you were going to step on him or hurt him. And God does not want us to initiate the attack. Are you listening? God does not want us to spend our lives attacking the wolves. God wants us only to fight the wolves in an effort to get the lost sheep. I know a lot of people get so busy trying to fight the wolves, they forget there's a lost sheep they're looking for. I don't know if I've used this here or not. I have it as an illustration in one of my sermons. I was on an airplane. And I was about to eat. And I got my napkin spread and the food uncovered, and you folks know how it is, and I just about to eat. And a little friend flew on my food. Little fly. And the fly said, I won't eat much. You can see I couldn't eat much. I'll just eat a little bit. But I said, now, but sir, you may not eat a great deal, but you may cause my part not to be as good for me. And so I did like this. And the fly said to himself, he doesn't really mean business. I'll just go away a while and come back. I was reading a paper, and the fly could tell it. And the fly knew I'd be watching the paper while I was eating it. And he came back. And I did that a little more vociferously. It's a Greek word, which means I did it real hard, like that. And fly came back. And I got mad. I said, I'll get that fly. I'll get him. I got that little airline magazine, you know, they have on the airplanes, airline magazine. And I rolled that, folded that thing up, you know, real good like that. And I said, I'll get him. And so I did like that. And he flew back behind me. I turned around like that and got up in my seat on my knees. I got him. And then turned around and four flies were eating my food. Now, don't you see what? A lot of people get so busy fighting the wolves, they forget to get the lost sheep. Now, our job is to go in the world. Why? Get people saved, not to fight the world. Now, and if the world fights us, it's supposed to be because we're getting their prospects. Funny thing. Did you know, Brother Vineyard, did you know that the government never really worried much about the fundamental churches till we started getting a lot of sheep? And as long as independent Christian schools were either Catholic or tiny, they didn't pass a bunch of rules against them. But when the Catholics started going out of business in the school business, and they are all over the country, and the fundamentalists got the big schools, then we were getting their sheep. And then now they're passing rules to try to put us out of business, and brother, they're about to do it. I don't mean just us. I mean every Christian school in America, unless a miracle takes place, will have its doors closed in 5 years. And that's not just my opinion, that's the opinion of every knowledgeable, fundamental Christian leader in America today who knows anything about the school business. Now why? What is it? We never tried to cause any trouble. You know that's true. All we're trying to do is get people saved. And if you'll just leave us alone while we try to get people saved, we'll never have any real battles around here. But you try to get people saved, and then the wolves get mad because they're trying to get the same people. So, we're not to attack. I was down in Murfreesboro, Tennessee. Is that where I was? Let's see. I think it was Murfreesboro, Tennessee. Been about a year ago, and a horsefly got into my room just about the time I was about to eat some soup that I had brought to my room. Just soup. Now, to me, there's nothing quite as ferocious looking as a horsefly. I almost seen a tiger come in my room as a horsefly. All those things, they fly like old P-38s or jet bombers, and that thing can... And I said, I'm going to get him. Well, he took off across the bed, and so did I. I got him, sure did. And then it took me quite a while to get the soup off the floor. Now, I lost the soup trying to get the horsefly. Now, if I just stopped to realize that as long as that horsefly didn't bother my soup, then he and I get along, okay, until I got through with the soup. But now, what happens is this. There are a lot of Christian people who go out in the world and try to irritate the world. That's not what God wants us to do. We're not soul winning supposed to do the irritating for us. God wants me to be kind and nice. You check any businessman, in Hammond, Indiana, or anywhere else where I do business, and they'll tell you that I'm gracious and kind and courteous. God doesn't want us going in places and stirring up trouble. God doesn't want you going around knocking beer bottles out of people's hands. Now, I think we ought to fight it. I'm not as concerned tonight about the sinfulness of the world as I am my people acting like the world. And when I preach against sin, I'm trying to keep God's people out of the place. Now, I'd like to close the places down. But, I'm 10,000 times more concerned about keeping these kids pure over here than I am trying to close something down. I know people that fight communism so much that they're going to save America and have nothing to save. They say, we can't have soul winning if we don't save America. And they go to some of the churches those fellows have, and they don't have soul winning anyway. I mean, why save it? It's not worth saving. Now I'm saying, God says that you're going to be hated like a wolf would hate a sheep, like people hate serpents. But he said, I want you to be like a serpent now, and I don't want you to avoid them. Never attack. Don't offend unnecessarily. Don't start a fight. Now let me say this, don't run from one either. Don't run from one. If you're fighting to preserve soul winning. If they say in the legislature that they're going to pass some laws to keep our buses off Chicago streets, then go down to Springfield and fight. See? Why? Because they're keeping us from getting the sheep, and that's what we're sent to do. He said, you're sent to the lost sheep of the house of Israel, and anything that keeps us from getting the sheep, we're supposed to fight it. The honest truth is, America has a... Listen. Do you know, 25 years ago, you couldn't even find a judge that would try a church. I've heard judges say, of course I won't try that church. You folks go back and straighten your own mess out. I'm not going to get involved in the church. I wish I hadn't that much sense nowadays. It's no judge's business what goes on in the church unless it's something that's unless you're killing somebody or breaking some flagrant breaking some law. It's no judge's business whether you go soul or not.
Amen.
It's no judge's business about our buses or our school. We have a right to have the kind of school we want to educate our own kids. That's America.
Right.
Now, we're supposed to defend our right to get the sheep. Something else. The snake readily defends. Now, I've never tried to stir one up. I mean, the truth is, you know, unless like a fellow said, where does a 2,000-pound tiger sleep? But just anywhere he wants to, as far as I'm concerned, you know. And the same thing's true about a snake. You say, poisonous too? I never ask a snake whether he's poisonous or not. Never. Sometimes they don't look poisonous, and they are. Eve found that out. But a snake readily defends itself. And a snake, if it's in a corner and it don't want to fight, it tries not to fight, but it will. And by the way, brother, when a snake, a poisonous snake, decides to fight, he has enough weapons in his arsenal to take care of you. And God wants us to fight only in defense of getting the sheep, only to defend our right. Listen, we have a right to go soul winning. If we don't break any laws and if we're courteous and right, we have a right to go soul winning.